Welcome to week three of our 91 weeks of transformation, our community journey through the living, vibrant, transforming, liberating, eternal, never-changing Word of God. This is Pastor Rock Dilliman, lead pastor at ACAC. Today, or this week, I should say, our readings come from the very first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapters 23 through 32. So let's jump into those chapters and talk about what they have to say to us about transformation. We begin in chapter 23, where we read about the death of Abraham's life partner, Sarah, and her burial. And you might think, well, what does that have to say about transformation? I'd like to suggest it reminds us that as God is transforming our life, along the way, we will lose some of those who have been a part of that transforming process. Maybe parents, maybe children, a family member, a friend, a beloved confidant, a pastor, a parishioner, a counselor. But somewhere along your lifetime journey of transformation, people who have played a part in that process, who have been used by God to help you to see where you need to be transformed, to encourage you in that transformation, to inform your transformation. Some of those people are going to step out of our life, either by death or by relocating or by retirement. There are numerous ways that people step out of our life. But along the way, you will temporarily lose some of those who have been a part of the process. But as we'll see, God's work in Abraham continued. And so never confuse the people who are helping you with the God who is using those people to help you. They may step away. They may be taken away, but God is ever present, and He'll continue His transforming work. In chapter 24, we read about Isaac and his need of a bride, and how Abraham sent out a servant to search for an appropriate bride for Isaac. And that says to me that we must be willing to trust others with some aspects, with some pieces of our transformation. We have to be willing to delegate some responsibilities to others to help us, to be eyes where we don't have eyes, to be ears where we don't have ears. God will place in your life people that you can trust. The issue will be, will you trust them? You might say, where there's no trust, there's no transformation. Others will have to be a part of what God is doing in your life, and they won't be able to carry out their assignment effectively if you don't trust them. As Abraham trusted a servant with a critical, mission-critical assignment. In chapter 25, we read about Abraham's death. And as we read about Abraham's death and his descendants, we read that after the death of Abraham, this is verse 11, God blessed Isaac, his son. And it's a reminder to me that any blessing that God brings about in your life as a part of your personal transformation is not intended for you and you only. God wants to pass that blessing on. Whatever God is doing in our life as He transforms us, it's never just for us. It's always meant to be passed on to someone else. Later in that 25th chapter, we read about the birth of Esau and Jacob. Throughout Scripture, God would use Esau as a symbol of the flesh that wages war against the spirit, and Jacob would be a symbol of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that battle began in the womb, because we read in the 23rd verse, the Lord saying to Rebekah, two nations are in your womb. Two people from within you shall be divided, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, Esau was the older, but remember, by his lifestyle, he became symbolic of the flesh. And God early on said, if your transformation is going to come to pass, then the flesh must yield to the spirit. The spirit can't yield to the flesh if transformation is going to unfold. And so the core battle, the core challenge in our transformation is the challenge of continually submitting the impulses of our own intellect, our own emotions, and our own will to the leading of the Holy Spirit, submitting and surrendering our flesh to the Holy Spirit. Now, later in that chapter, we read about Esau in a moment of hunger selling his birthright for a bowl of soup. And it's a reminder that spiritual transformation is of no value to the flesh. That means there is something in you, your flesh, that will not value the transforming work of God. Something in you that would be willing to pass on it. Something in you that would be willing to surrender it. And you always have to deal with that something. It's the ongoing battle between the flesh and the spirit. It's also a reminder that the world doesn't value the things that we're talking about during these 91 weeks. They place no value on the spiritual transformation of a human soul into the image of Christ. In chapter 26, we read about Isaac settling in an area called Gerar, where the ruler was Abimelech. And what does he do? He presents Rebekah as his sister rather than his wife, because he's fearful, because of her physical attractiveness, that they might take his life and take her into Abimelech's harem. Now, does that sound familiar? Abraham did the same thing. And what does that say about transformation? It says one of the things you're going to have to overcome in your transformation is negative family influence. So many of us, as we begin our walk with God, do so with family baggage. Few and far between are the folks who don't have any baggage from their family experience. Most of us have some family baggage. And the influence of family will raise its head on more than one occasion. Remember the old adage, more is caught than taught. And so part of our transformation will be the recognition of where our experience in a human family has shaped us for the better and where it has shaped us for the worse. And we'll find ourselves needing to be cycle breakers, changing things that have been a part of our family perhaps for generations. If you're able to say things like, well, as far back as I can remember, our family has always struggled with. Well, God doesn't want you to pass that struggle on. He wants you to be the cycle-breaking generation. And that will be a part of your transformation. The need to recognize where family has influenced you adversely and the need to break that cycle. We also read in that chapter about the Philistines who were threatened by Isaac's blessing and God's hand upon him. And they stopped, we read in verse 15, and filled with earth all the wells that Isaac's father Abraham had dug. Because the people used those wells not only for themselves, but for their flocks and for their herds. The Philistines were attempting to discourage the people of God and to hurt their economic development. What does that have to do with your transformation? The enemy knows the sources of refreshment and growth and encouragement in your transformation. He knows the Word is one of those sources. He knows prayer is one of those sources. He knows the body of Christ, Christian community, is one of those sources. He knows worship is one of those sources. So what will he do? He'll attempt to fill up your life with distractions, to fill up your life with other commitments, and effectively keep you from the wells of refreshment and growth and progress, denying you the very things that are critical to your transformation. And we read in verse 18 that Isaac dug up again those wells that had served his father well so that they could serve him and his family well. And in your transformation, there will likely be times when you'll have to say, Lord, I've allowed the enemy to hinder my Bible reading, my prayer, my worship, my assembling, my community, and now I'm dry and barren and struggling, and I need to dig up those wells again. Notice, Isaac didn't go stand over the wells and say, give water. He had to physically remove the debris and the dirt and the rubble that the Philistines had maliciously placed in those wells so that he could drop the bucket in once again and bring up refreshing water. And when you recognize you've allowed the enemy to fill up the wells of blessing, you've got to go back and dig up those things. You've got to reassign some of your time for the reading of God's Word and prayer. You've got to clear the decks of some of the trivial matters that you have allowed to get in the way of the things that are necessary for the transformation of your soul. Well, at the end of that 26th chapter, we read about Esau. Remember, he symbolizes the flesh, and he takes daughters from dire enemies of Israel as his wives and makes life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. The takeaway? The flesh will always, always, always seek to make your life experience bitter. Seek to get in the way of your transformation. Moving now to chapter 28. You remember at this point in the story, Jacob has been sent away from his mom because his brother Esau was furious that Jacob had tricked their father and stolen the birthright that he didn't value anyhow, by the way. So Jacob found himself in another land. And while he was there, he had a dream. And in the midst of that, God spoke to him and said, this is in verse 13, The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. The takeaway, that story reminds us that in the course of your transformation, interruptions will arise. Detours may arise. Obstructions may suddenly be in your path. In those moments, you should expect God to reaffirm his promises to you. To say, in essence, I know you're not where you thought you would be. I know where you're at currently. Looks like I've forgotten my promises to you. I haven't. Having begun a good work in you, I will perfect it. Now we move into chapter 29. And there we find the story that would make a good mini-series on television about Jacob and his love for Rachel and how Laban, her father, tricked Jacob into marrying his other daughter so that he had to serve additional years before he could marry Rachel. What's the takeaway? In your transformation, there will be some hard lessons. Some things are learned in moments of pain that aren't learned any other way or at any other time. I'm not saying they have to be learned in pain. The reality is, if we would discern the voice of God and listen to it the first time, we could avoid a lot of pain. But I'm saying, because of who we are, there are some things that are only learned through pain. And the story that is a part of your reading this week reminds us of that. Well, I'm going to conclude. We're now up to chapter 32. And in chapter 32, we find Jacob wrestling with God. And it's a fit place to close for this week, because it's a reminder that we don't give up the things that weigh us down, the things that hinder our joy, the things that get in the way of God's transforming work. We don't let go of those things easily or immediately. To be a part of God's transforming work in your life means there are times when you're going to find yourself wrestling with God. Wrestling over an old habit. Wrestling over an old loyalty. Wrestling over a misplaced trust. Wrestling over an inappropriate relationship. It'll be a contest of wills. And when you find yourself in a contest of wills with God, the best thing you can do is lose. Lose. Because God knows what is best for you. He's passionate about leading you into what is best for you. And when you don't recognize that, he's willing to get down and wrestle with you. But he won't walk away from that encounter with a limp. You will. And a limp isn't necessarily a bad thing. A limp can be a reminder that there was a time when I didn't understand, and I fought God in this arena of my life. Thankfully, he was stronger than me, and he won. Well, those are the takeaways from this week's reading. There are many, many more, but our time gets away from us quickly. You have a great week of transformation as you follow God. Welcome.